Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, for the Victory Grill offering of the Raiders and the Cowboys tonight. That'll be from the Raider Network. Stop on by if you can. Add me and Ed's Victory Grill. Carter, everybody there. It's a great time, great giveaways, the terrific food, obviously, big screen TVs, and a game that has a couple of teams that are trying to right the ship. The Cowboys hanging on by a thread, maybe, to a very, very unlikely playoff appearance, although with the expanded NFL, one never knows. And for the Raiders, actually better than you think. They have had a lot of games. There have been some blowouts, but a lot of games, and the game in Denver was a great example, where they're a play or two away from finishing the deal. So I think Pete Carroll is making progress as long as Davis stays out of the way and allows Pete to do what he's done in the past. The Raiders will be okay, but it's probably not going to be for this year. But anytime the Raiders and Cowboys play, you have two of the most loyal local fan bases at work. I've seen it many times. So if you go out there tonight and check it out, ABC and ESPN, I'll tell you all about the schedule for the rest of the week a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500. More information or precisioneng.net. I'll tell you about the fundraising Ed does for Fresno State when we go over the schedule later in the show for both 1430 and 790. Paul with us today to talk Bulldog football and basketball. We'll get to that momentarily, but first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, beginning with our friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They do a lot in the Valley in regard to supporting athletics, so we thank them for that and remind you about the great deals they have going on right now, particularly the throwback to the late 90s, which means the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything at this particular time. Chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces. You know, and love talking about the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. They all are terrific, as always, finger-licking good. And if you stop by those local operators, you will find a great commitment toward Fresno State and everything going on in the Valley athletically. Thank them for it if you stop in to pick up a bucket or two. And also want to remind you that the long-running specials are still in place. That is the $10 8-piece or 8-tenders offer on Tuesdays, or the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesdays. And keep in mind, chicken sandwiches with the barbecue flavor on them right now, still just $3.99. Great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We thank them for their sponsorship each and every day on the show. The other reminders, first, the weather from Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. People that have been in the Valley since 1981, you see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I'm having to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very reasonable in their pricing and very timely. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. And also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we'll bring Paul up and other guests, and how Phil also brings callers from the general public. So mark that number down, 559-320-1430. You can give Phil a call during his show. As far as the weather goes, it is clearing right now after what has been naturally a very rainy several days. Still a chance, particularly in the foothills, of rain tonight and maybe into tomorrow. 58 today, 57, and patchy fog tomorrow. You know, the fog sure to follow the rains. 61 in dense fog on Wednesday, and then again back to showers on Thursday if it does materialize, and a 59, maybe early showers on Friday and a 58, and then we hit 63 and 62 over the weekend with, again, fog in the morning, sun in the afternoon, and, of course, Fresno State and Utah State getting ready to kick it off Saturday at the stage, at the stadium at Valley Children's. And I don't need to tell you a critically important game, and I'll go over with Paul the very strange weekend in the Mountain West. The Bulldogs almost pulled to an inside straight, for goodness sake, because they almost had everything that could go their way on Saturday in other games. But at the last moment, both New Mexico and UNLV escaped, so we will talk about that momentarily. But I want to thank everybody at Lee's again for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com. 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. And the final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend. That's Joe Cruz and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, being what Ed brings to you and for everybody around the area that needs valves. It is Superior Pipe and Stainless Supplies. Ed and Joe, two terrific benefactors for Fresno State. Joe's business, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or stop by in person at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town. Hit him up. He'll tell you exactly what he can do for you. If you're someone working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery service, working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve, if it goes down, your business can come crashing down. Joe has the great components, the pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, the food-grade chemical hoses, the suction hoses, all there under one roof. Stop in and see him. More information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If you stop by, tell Joe what is going on with your business. If it's anything he can fix immediately, he will certainly do it. If it's something where you get an estimate and then has a day or two to make sure you get back up and running, he'll do that as well. Always contact him the minute something goes south for you, because if your business hits that kind of bump in the road, it can be catastrophic to the bottom line. After Joe finishes addressing your needs, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he has done as a booster for Fresno State now for over three decades, celebrating the 25th anniversary, by the way, of this fine business. And he would tell you right now that the best avenue, as we bring up each and every day, is to head to the main website at gobulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BDF is there, the Bulldog Foundation, celebrating its 75th anniversary right now. You've also got Club Red under that header. Under major giving societies, you'll find the Green V Society. The Myers Champion Circle is there. Then under ways to give, you've got the methods of support. That's a delineation of everything you can do for Fresno State. The Valley Co-op, which is critically important, is there as well. Click on that for more information. And then under sports clubs, you have the ability to bring your money directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball on the board of directors of the timeout club. And he has said they'd love to have more members. Give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FurtigJack@AOL.com if you want to hit him up with an email. There are links to other sports there as well for both the men's and women's teams, including Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball. And then finally, we talk about NIL monies under the aegis of Fresno State right now. Any sponsorship idea you might have, any donation, big or small, contact university. Critically important that Fresno State gets some sort of grassroots effort going, because the corporate sponsorship that others have, not necessarily here in the Valley right now, at least not as widespread as we've seen in other places. So it's going to take everybody pulling together, and it's going to take money, that's for sure. So anything you can do, stop off at the GoBulldogs.com location, do what you can for Fresno State. And we thank Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. I thank Joe, thank Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, thank everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kermit. Right now we turn to our longtime friend and longtime voice of your Bulldogs, and someone who I think is still drying out from Saturday night, although unless there was a leak in the press box, I'm sure he was fine. It is Paul Lepper. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I think I have dried out. I mean, I was out in the quarterback club tailgate, thanks to Alan Cade and the crew for some great food and some great stories out there. So I did splash through a few puddles, got my socks wet, felt it all night. But my spotter, Rob Cochet, kept taking a rag and drying off my spotting folder, so that was helpful. Got to do windows open. Can't have the windows closed or you won't see anything. So, no, it was a memorable night for the Bulldogs. But, Tony, before I go any further, I want to honor a special Bulldog. You knew him well, and so did I, and he passed away this morning. And I'm so thankful that at the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame just a couple weeks ago, he was honored. But our friend Tom Kane, who sports information director at Fresno State, back when you first started covering the team, did a phenomenal job with facilities for so many years, stayed connected to the Bulldog family. Just saw him at the Save Mart Center last week, and he was chipper and sharp and enthusiastic and, you know, just another one of those people who's given so much to not just Fresno State but our community. He served the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame board for more than 40 years, and at that last induction ceremony, he and two other awesome Bulldogs, Tom Summers and Pat Ogle, were honored for all their years of service on the board. So I'm really glad the Hall of Fame did that, that he felt the love while he was still with us. One of those people that was an unsung hero on campus for years and years and years, and nobody loved the Bulldogs more. And I'll never forget in 2008, when the Bulldogs won the College World Series, Tom Kane had been driving Bruce Ferris around, the old Fresno Bee sports writer, everywhere. And he trusted Rayo and I to take Bruce up to the press box. And I knew that was a big, to take that torch for him was big. But he made Bruce's final years so memorable. And he had a lot of people, especially his family, that made his last years with us here in the Valley super memorable. So his granddaughter was sat in the game at Valley Children's Stadium on Saturday night, and will continue to follow in his footsteps. But Tom Kane was a great Bulldog, and we're really going to miss him. So thanks for giving me some time to share.
No, my pleasure, Paul, and no doubt about it. Tom was unbridled enthusiasm for Fresno State, and a lot of times when we needed to cover a game, Tom would say, "Where do you want to sit?" And, you know, "You want to sit directly behind home plate? I'll put a table right directly behind home plate. I'll play for you." You know, he really knew how to bring everybody forward. And he's a guy I thought would live to be about 150, to be honest with you, Paul, because Tom was a guy who never had a bad day, if you know what I mean. He was always ready to go. And it's a tough thing that we've talked about over and over again, that so many of the great people that I first came up with are now getting to that point. And you always kind of cringe a little bit each and every day and wonder, you know, exactly who you're going to hear about next. But our condolences out to Jim and the entire family. There's no doubt about that. And I do appreciate you spending the time, Paul. All right, the transition back, again, and I'm not going to say to the toy department, because one more time, sport is very important to a lot of us, but the transition back to sport itself. Paul, when the NFL started the international games, I think it was around 2016 or whatever, there was a sports writer in London who looked upon football American style as being a sport that should not ever be considered in the same breath as the real football that Europe proffers, which is soccer, and made the comment watching the NFL that it shouldn't be called football because it has little to do with the foot. It should be called shoulder ball, because he said it appears they spend most of the time ducking their shoulder and hitting people. All right, it was rather a disdainful look at American football. Now, that has since changed over the years, but the one thing that he was wrong about, Paul, for sure, is the lack of emphasis on foot. He has not paid attention, because this weekend passed, the foot of football, how many, Paul, in college and in the NFL, games were decided by a field goal or lack thereof, impacting games yesterday in the National Football League up and down all day Saturday. And one in particular, you know where I'm headed here, at Allegiant Stadium, where a kicker for Utah State, who had not missed a field goal all year long, kicking in the elements in Cache Valley, was 10 for 10. And missed three field goals, including one that was point blank at the end of regulation, that could have given the Bulldogs a critical victory that would have taken UNLV out of the mix. The same way Colorado State, coming from 10 points back, was driving with a chance to upset New Mexico, and a turnover cost them. Paul, the Bulldogs took care of their business, but per the emails that I've gotten, Robert S. and Robert P., etc., the Bulldogs need to win two straight. Paul, you look at UNLV and New Mexico and shake your head a little bit, or do you think this thing is still going to work out if the Bulldogs win their final two to make one of those two slots for the championship game of the conference?
I'm pretty confident it's not going to work out if they don't win those two. So I think they better focus on winning those two.
I'm with you with that. You have to buy the premise and buy the bet. You're going to have to win it at home against Utah State and at San Jose State. I'm just saying, Willie, last week I was supremely confident they were going to get there. I still think New Mexico and UNLV are going to lose somewhere along the way. Do you feel the same way?
Well, somebody's going to lose, right? I mean, New Mexico plays San Diego State. You know, there's other games between some of these teams. Hawaii can still help the Bulldogs cause. So, but that's completely out of your control. So you just, you can't, yep. As tempting as it is, as important as it is, as, you know, significant as it's going to be in determining what ends up happening with the title game, you have zero control over it. But you can control this game against Utah State, which may situationally be the toughest game of the year for them. Right, because they know what's in front of them. They know if they win two games, they have a good chance of playing for a conference title. And even if they didn't, they would still have a chance at a 10-win season, which when you're a first-year head coach, that's a big deal. So they have to win Saturday. And this is a challenge. I mean, people maybe haven't paid attention to Utah State, but they know the name Bronco Mendenhall. They know his track record of success. And I think most significantly in this game, the Bulldogs are facing the kind of quarterback they haven't seen this year. I mean, Daniels at Kansas was a six-year guy who's experienced, could run it if he needed to, and had tremendous touch. But Bryson Barnes is a legitimate dual-threat QB. He's the only quarterback Utah State's ever had, and they've had some good ones. Jordan Love, Chucky Keaton, you know, he's the only one who's ever had two 100-yard rushing games. He scored 8 rushing touchdowns this year. And, oh, by the way, when he throws it, he's thrown 18 touchdowns and only 3 picks. So this is a big-time weapon that they're going up against. They haven't faced a quarterback who's had the kind of season that Bryson Barnes has had. And when you know, so that'll be a great challenge for what's one of the best defenses in the conference, if not the country right now statistically. But it also makes you wonder, you know, will the offense be able to keep up? If Utah State doesn't turn it over and plays the kind of football the Aggies have been playing and doesn't miss 2 walk-off field goals like they did at Allegiant, can the Bulldogs score enough to win the game? And they can really use the help from the Red Wave. Senior day, Ag day, boots and buckles day, or night, I should say, you know, 7:30 kick Saturday, and the next Saturday in San Jose, that's going to be a 7:30 also. But to me, situationally, this is the biggest game of the year. Because it's a stiff challenge against the kind of player you haven't dealt with. He's going to test your defense in a different way. And the way they've risen to the occasion the last couple weeks defensively, I mean, holding those two teams to a combined 10 points, I know the defense is going to be energized to face this kind of challenge and embrace the opportunity to shut down a quarterback who's had such a special season.
Well, toward that end, Paul, if people did not see the UNLV game, we're talking about the field goal kicker hadn't missed all year, missing 3 times, like you said, 2 of them incredibly costly to the Bulldogs. Never mind the Utah State. Let's keep in mind it also took Utah State fundamentally out of the mix. So, you know, they would say Fresno State's a secondary concern to the Aggies right now. But if you haven't watched Barnes, I think it's a fair comparison to say, Paul, he is a lowercase version of Josh Allen, meaning he can throw it. And he can also run it, and he took off, what, for 50 yards and almost sealed that game with that particular run. So you're right. This is a weapon that you're going to have to be careful with, and you're also correct in saying the Bulldog defense has played great. Now, as far as the schedules go, the remainder of UNLV scheduling, and the reason we bring up UNLV in New Mexico is because those are the two teams out of Fresno State's control in a tie because the Bulldogs do not play those two teams this year. UNLV has Hawaii at home, and then they are at Nevada. Nevada, you know, took care of San Jose State big time and finally won a conference game. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble with Hawaii. I know that the Rainbow Warriors don't play as well on the mainland, but they are a good football team. So I look to that game next week very closely on the 21st. And then New Mexico, before San Diego State, in Albuquerque, they are at Air Force. And I believe, Paul, that that senior day at Air Force, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to double-check that. But I think New Mexico is going to have trouble there. But if it comes down to those two teams running the table, first of all, for New Mexico, if they were to win next week, they and San Diego State will play a game where New Mexico could be the one seed or they could be completely out, and the Aztecs may have to win just to keep their positioning. So that's going to be important. That kind of scoreboard watching aside, Paul, from what you've seen from Fresno State and this defense, any reason to think the Bulldogs can't get it done the next 2 weeks? I'm not going to ask you to guarantee wins, but as fine as Utah State might be offensively, you referenced it, the Bulldogs defensively have been absolutely terrific since the Colorado State game. That was the wake-up call, and they've been great. Any reason to think otherwise here for the last eight quarters of the regular season?
No. I think, defensively, they're playing as well as anybody. And, I think everything you just broke down about the other team's schedules, no game in this league is a gimme this year. Nevada, what it did to San Jose State is a reminder. And when it's Nevada UNLV with that cannon on the line, that's always the game where a bad team can upset the good team. And same goes for the Bulldogs finale in San Jose, right? The Spartans can't make a bowl now. They can embrace the spoiler role. That's going to be a challenge. There aren't going to be any gimmies anywhere. But as far as can Fresno State play the kind of defense to force turnovers, to thwart the biggest challenge they've faced at the quarterback position this year, absolutely they're capable. I mean, they've got an experienced secondary. Their corners are as good as anybody in the conference. Cam Brock's leadership at safety, I think, has been tremendous, and he had a good game the other night. They had the injury to Thunderbird, but now Kajavi and Stoot are getting a feel for it. Titus was a defensive player in the game the other night. And on the D-line, I mean, they lost probably one of the biggest unsung heroes on the team. I mean, people don't realize how big a difference Martin Owusu has made this year in the run game, and they didn't have him Saturday night. He's out for the year with a lower body injury. So to replace a guy like that with a team approach and rotate eight or nine guys on the D-line and shut down the opposition the way they did, that's impressive. So is it a bigger challenge against Utah State's offense than Wyoming? Yes. Much bigger challenge. But is this defense and one of the sharpest young coordinators in the game, Nick Benedetto, up to that challenge? I absolutely believe so. And a sold-out crowd could help push them over the top. So it's going to be a fun night at the stadium. We know the weather's going to be better than it was this last Saturday, and there will be more fans in the seats. But I just want to echo what Pat Hill said during the hot dog race Saturday night, what Coach Entz said during his news conference today. Hats off to those fans. I have a friend who's battling cancer who was out there with her family enjoying that ball game. And I saw so many people, wearing their ponchos, staying in their seats, cheering loud. When our hero of the game was introduced at halftime, even though he played for the University of Wyoming, Darrell Matthews got the loudest cheer of the night. There are enough people to make that noise. When our guy CK got him going with the Fresno State chant, I mean, it was as loud as ever, even with fewer bodies. So it says something about the commitment of the Red Wave and those truly diehard fans, and that's what makes this program go. That's what makes our community special. So I want to see all those folks and a few more on Saturday night.
You brought up Kajavi, Paul. I don't remember in recent memory someone jumping into a position and having such an immediate impact. I mean, we've seen bits and pieces, but because of injury and other things, he was there, and you just cannot have a better full-time debut than that, can you?
No, to do what he did at Boise and then to do this, he's making plays. And he's a smart player, right? I mean, the guys that really understand the scheme always end up a click ahead, and for him that's coming early, which is a great sign. He could be one of those guys. I mean, we've had some really special linebackers from Clovis West. Right, you think about Mark Daly and David Adamo for Pat Hill. Had some other Golden Eagles make an impact, like Brad Bell. But, I think Titus is going to end up right on that list. And, it's a silver lining for him to get this experience now. When Kavion comes back next year, all of a sudden you're in a real favorable position because Pearson's going to be out of eligibility. And, let's not be foolish and think this isn't a big deal for Jaden Pearson and Simeon Harris. And Simeon's been playing as well as anybody on that D. For them to go up against the team they played for last year and some guys that are still on that team, they're going to be as focused as ever. There's so many reasons to be there Saturday night and to be dialed in. And, yeah, I think the title game appearance is a strong possibility. Is it completely within their control? No. But I think if they take care of their end of the bargain, there's a better chance than not that they're going to end up playing on December 5th.
Well, that's right, Paul. It was such a near thing on Saturday, and I know it ain't over till it's over. We get it. But it looked for all the world as though Utah State had that game won, particularly in regulation. It's amazing, right, that someone can kick in conditions that you can get. And admittedly, I know we were still early in the year going 10 for 10, but you're kicking outdoors, you're kicking at home at Utah State, which is always problematic, and you're perfect, and then you go inside the controlled environment of Allegiant Stadium and you miss three field goals. It's just the inexplicable nature of it, and that and the fact that Colorado State hung in there and had a legitimate chance to beat New Mexico. And had those two things occurred, Paul, we would be talking about the Bulldogs in full control of their destiny, which after the San Diego State game, I'm not so sure anybody would have believed it. But they are in a position still where they can get it done. But I do have to come to the quarterbacking situation. You and I have talked about this a great deal, and certainly email after email about it. I brought up many times the 1990 New York football Giants because they won a Super Bowl with Bill Parcells as their coach, Bill Belichick as their DC, and they did it by shortening the game, by playing terrific defense, by not taking chances offensively, and having a quarterback, if you want to call him a game manager, so be it, and Jeff Hostetler, whose job it was to not lose the game for that defense, and it worked, and they ended up, by the time Norwood missed that field goal, of course, Roger Craig fumbled away the NFC title game. That's, you know, something I've talked about a billion times. Then Norwood misses the 47-yarder, and the Giants hoist the trophy. Paul, the whole role of that quarterback on that team was not to lose the game for him. He didn't have to win it. He just had to make sure he didn't lose it. I would purport to you that that is sort of where Matt is right now in the quarterbacking situation. Conklin hasn't been dynamic, but he also hasn't been making mistakes. Is that the read you have on the just win baby attitude of the Bulldogs right now and the coaching staff about the quarterbacking?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track, Tony. And the most important stat is wins, but he's 2-1 as a starter. And, you know, he was asked about that at the news conference today, Coach Entz was. And he brought up that, a rainy night like that might not be the best way to evaluate a quarterback in the pass game.
Right.
But there are those other things. There are the checks into the right play. There are the decision-making. And he didn't turn it over. He got his first Bulldog touchdown pass. And, you know, glad replay saw that and made the right call. But, yeah, I think if you end up in a situation where you're not getting stops and turnovers, where Utah State's offense is doing what it's demonstrated it's capable of doing, you're going to need more from the pass game unless you just dominate the line of scrimmage. And can they do that? Well, they did against Boise. But I certainly could imagine a scenario where they need to throw the ball to win. And we haven't seen Carson prove in a Bulldog uniform yet that he's the guy that can do that. He's eager to prove that. Right, so maybe this is the game where he does. And, you know, I think you're also, if you get in a situation where you really believe that his skill set isn't what you need there, then they won't hesitate to go back to E.J. Warner. I do, you know, I still feel for our guy Jaden Mandel, who I really think could have helped this team this year if he hadn't been injured. And unfortunately, we won't get to see that this year. But Carson's building confidence, 2-1 as a starter. EJ led him to some huge wins. I mean, the win at Hawaii might be the biggest win of the year when all is said and done. So you have two guys who've led this team to really significant, meaningful victories. And by the time all is said and done, if you're going to win a championship, you may need contributions from both. But time will tell.
Right.
And I think the most encouraging thing offensively was seeing the depth at running back and the genuine brotherhood that RB room has. There's no jealousy. There's no envy. They're so excited for each other when they succeed. And the way the whole team celebrated Jonathan Arsenault's, you know, far and away best moment as a Bulldog, I think says something about the culture that this coaching staff has built. And Coach Entz went out of his way today to credit running back coach Aaron Pryor for the mentality, you know, the quarterbacks have about sharing the rock the way they do. And without that, Fresno State, you know, might not have won the last couple games. If you had guys that were more selfish or focused on their stats, their touches, their carries, then, you know, we might have seen some different results. So that's a credit to the coaching staff and to those young men.
Well, by the way, one addendum, Paul, to the local ties that are your Giant team. The Giants won the title game with five field goals. Barr kicked five field goals. He did not get in the end zone, but they won. But the critical play was a wide receiver who was 5'7", 165 pounds, who pushed off against Don Griffin and got away with it for setting up the winning field goal. And that was none other than Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker. And I've said this before, he was living across the street, and so I stole his Chronicle every morning just to get on his nerves afterward, Paul. But the problem was he was sleeping in during the offseason, and I put it back by the time he woke up. So he didn't know I stole it for about an hour, Paul, but it meant a lot to me. You know what I mean? Because, as you know, I am completely petty about things. And I know that's sad, really, really. What a great stand, right? What a gutty move to do that and then not even have him be aware of it. So, Stephen, if you're out there, that's right. I stole it and put it back, but I did steal it for an hour. All right. That having been said,
I'm waiting for Jim Burt and Leonard Marshall to have their names mentioned in this conversation.
Well, I would not have stolen Jim Burt nor Leonard Marshall's. Jim Burt became the 49ers, you know, afterward. Leonard Marshall broke Joe Montana's thumb in that game, which set up Steve Young throwing to Brett Jones and set up the ensuing run to Roger Craig when all he had to do was just hold on to the football. And I said it, I didn't expect him after he fumbled with 2:38 to go in a first down and a chance to run out the clock and go for a three-peat, which hasn't happened in Super Bowl history, by the way. I didn't expect him to go to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge and throw himself off. But I was a little irritated when he said, nah, Eric Howard made a nice play. I was over it the next day. It's been 35 years. I haven't been over it yet. And Roger was over it the next day. But only one of us is going to the Hall of Fame, but it's not going to be me, unless I'm driving to Canton as a spectator. I want to go back to what you talked about, Paul. The two teams on the schedule can both put up numbers. So, you know, different horses, different courses. Maybe the last couple of weeks, you could be conservative. Independent of what Conklin has or has not done, or whether Warner would see action again, or are the Bulldogs going to have to open up the offense mandatorily against Utah State and San Jose State, or do you say, I'm not sure about that? I'm just wondering going in.
Well, I think that's you start with a game plan and you're ready to adjust. And you did see a lot of creativity in the run game the other night, right? Or as Pat Hill said on our broadcast, a lot of eye candy, you know, misdirection, motions, shifts, getting the defense's attention and doing other things. And, you know, look at Donaldson's first touchdown, how badly Wyoming's defense was fooled there. And on Arsenault's touchdown, right, they bring Speedy Luke and fly sweep motion to draw a lot of attention. And then Jonathan hits the hole. It shows his explosive ability. So I think Coach Davis is doing a good job of using the different skill sets. I loved how often Brandon Ramirez was on the field, how often we saw them line up in two back sets. It just puts a bigger burden on the defense because Brandon has proven himself as a ball carrier and as a blocker. He's not a bad receiver either. So they don't know, you know, what's happening in those situations. And I think they did a good job of using the depth of that running back position, lining guys up in different spots and creating, you know, what often the pass game does for you in terms of keeping a defense on its heels. They were able to do a fair amount of that without putting the ball in the air. And, you know, if you can start out that way and have success, it can minimize the burden on the quarterback to make those huge plays. But another thing Coach Entz brought up today, right? The ball Carson threw on 4th and 6 to move the chains. Big-time throw in that situation, right? The ball he threw to Josiah for the touchdown. Great footwork, by the way, by number 5. But those are areas of growth. And, you know, there's another few, you know, I think most of the balls he threw to Zeke Abbott were a little off target and, you know, not in prime catching radius position. So that's something to sharpen. You know, sometimes he needs a little more heat on it, just needs it a little more accurate. And nobody's pushing himself any harder than Carson is. So
the team, I think, is staying together. It's not a situation where you have, you know, factions and schisms. They're playing team football right now. Offensive guys are excited for defensive guys, vice versa. I think the family connection that these guys feel, the brotherhood that they're experiencing, is as palpable as I can remember in recent years. And, again, that's credit to the coaching staff and the emphasis that they're placing. And, you know, when you played really well at home all year and only lost one game at home, you want to make sure you finish your home schedule with a resounding victory. So they're going to be focused, motivated, and ready to put on a show for the Red Wave on Saturday night.
And, again, one game at a time, but also, again, the micro and the macro. The micro is a game, play-to-play, game-to-game. Macro is there's a possibility that you could not only finish your – you will definitely finish your regular season in-state. You could finish the entirety of the conference, including the playoff game in-state, and you could end up in L.A. playing a bowl game. That would be a great way to finish the season. First things first, Utah State, 7:30 on Saturday night. I hope people are out there with the better weather coming up. Paul, before we wrap it up, I want to ask you about basketball. I realize you had the football game opposite the Utah Valley basketball game. It did come back. Gorey made a big bucket late, and the Bulldogs played D in the last 24 seconds or so to win. Your sense that they're making progress, too early to tell. Stephen F. Austin, by the way, is in, and four other guys. That's the joke. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock at SMC. Making progress, Paul? What about it from your point of view?
Yeah, making progress. And Stephen F. Austin's 4-0, by the way. And I want to comment on that. I did watch back a lot of the game, so I do have a feel for it. But I have to. I mean, we haven't done a show since the big news that our guy Aaron Judge did win his third MVP, which should be his fourth. And you asked me a lot of questions about that in recent weeks. So I just want to give the writers credit for doing the right thing. As special as Cal Raleigh was this year, the clear MVP was number 99. And maybe we take him for granted because we've been talking about him for so long and because he's so humble and never seeks the spotlight. But that is such a huge, monumental deal to have a three-time American League MVP who plays the game the way really no one ever has. And he's your guy from the Valley and from Fresno State. That's not just a big deal for Coach Overland and the baseball team, who, by the way, it was great to see them honored at the football game the other night. But it's a big deal for all the sports on campus. When you're recruiting and you can say, hey, you know that Aaron Judge guy? He's a Fresno State Bulldog. Big, big deal. So congrats to Aaron and his family. And so thrilled for him, and he'll continue to be the ultimate ambassador for Linden, for the Valley, for Fresno State, for the Yankees, and really, in my mind, for the game. I mean, he is the guy people look to. If you want to be a baseball player, follow Aaron Judge's example. And what he does off the field is equally as impactful as what he does between the lines, the impact he has on his teammates, on the community. You know, there's a lot of Bulldogs that I've gotten to call their games and gotten to know as men. And, you know, there's no one I would be more proud of than Aaron Judge for who he is as a person and the way he does everything he does. So just pumped for him, his wife, Sam, and their little baby girl, and the rest of his family. So congrats to Aaron. And on basketball, that was a turning point for the team because they've had so many games like that the last 2 years, right? Last year, I really thought this is not picking on anybody. I thought there were 10 games last year that they realistically could have won that they didn't. And I think Coach Wahlberg would tell you the same thing. That six-win season could have been 16 if they were able to finish the games that they had opportunities to win. And here's a game where they find themselves down double digits in the second half. They put on the press. They find an advantage. They take advantage of weaknesses in the opposition. They play the matchup game. They get a freshman like DJ Stickman coming in and play like he's not a freshman, and I think we're going to see more and more of that. And then to have a guy in Deshaun Gorey who, you know, had – kind of played his way out of the game in terms of he was on the bench because he hadn't been effective. But guys foul out. He has to go back in. And he's not just out there taking up space. He's ready. When they double hide Breeder and Jake sees him, he's ready to just let it fly and bury the biggest shot of his Bulldog career so far. So that's huge. And then you still needed to stop and to see what Jake and DJ did on that last play to make sure Utah Valley didn't score. you know, that was impressive. So hats off to that team. And the other thing, you know, Zion, right? There will be other matchups. In the Mountain West, he won't have as many matchups where he's got that big of a quickness edge against the other team's guards. But in that game, that was a huge matchup. And hats off to the coaches for turning him loose. Because this offense is predicated on layups and threes. The mid-range shot is really not part of the game plan typically, but you saw times where Zion gets in the paint, jump stop, pivot, shoot a fadeaway. He can make that all day, kind of the way Tyler Johnson did late in his career. And of course, Tyler's right there coaching him. There may be games where they have to freelance a little more because of the matchup advantage that Zion has, and it was really good to see him have the confidence to exploit that advantage and lead that team to victory. So, yeah, excited for them and excited to see what they can do against Stephen F. Austin tomorrow night.
Well, again, we've talked about the non-conference schedule, favorable, a lot of home games, et cetera. They will be going on the road. You've got Acrisure, and you've also got that battle in Little Rock against Arkansas, which is going to be a major challenge. And then always the challenge of conference. And it's going to be a conference going to get even more difficult beginning next year, because when you get to the Pac, Gonzaga is going to be waiting for you with everybody else. So interesting times at Fresno State, and I hope things do go well the rest of the way. Paul, I appreciate it. I hope you have a great week. Have a great broadcast tomorrow. Tell Q I said hello. And Saturday night, I hope people are out at the stadium. Bulldogs have pulled themselves back into position, and it is just win, baby. They cannot control what happens other places. Games are going to be played earlier in the day or a day earlier in the next couple of weeks, so they'll have a real good idea when they get to San Jose, as long as they win against Utah State. So we'll see what happens. Well, appreciate it, my friend. Always good talking to you.
Thanks, Tony, and appreciate all your listeners. Look forward to seeing a lot of them tomorrow night at Save Mart Center, and the men are home Friday night as well against New Orleans. So a lot of opportunities to get on campus and support Bulldog Athletics this week.
No question. I'll see you a little bit later on, Paul. Take care. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Adios, Tony.
All right, guys. Paul Leffler will take a break, come back and tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench for 2 hours today, and then it's time for the Raiders and the Cowboys Major Wager Monday. Tell you all about that after this, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN.
Hi, buddy. Welcome back. 251. A couple of minutes on the show. Hand it off to Phil. It's great to go behind the bench. 2 hours today, and then it's time for Major Wager Monday. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park, the great food of me and Ed's, the terrific atmosphere of the Cowboys and the Raiders. Carter and the gang out there, stop by. Major Wager Monday, always a lot of fun at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park. Remind you guys that on Friday it will be Clovis in Central East. Bill, Paul, I believe Pat Hill as well. I have that game for you. Phil will tell you all about it when he comes up a little bit later on. I'll get to the schedule in just a moment, but first, one more reminder about our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have the throwback to the 90s going on right now, and that means classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Always KFC, finger-licking good. And you have the 2-, 3-, 4-piece meals on sale right now. You also have the chicken sandwich, just $3.99. On Tuesdays, you still have the long-running offer, which is the $10 8-piece or 8 tenders proposition for you. And on Wednesday, you have the country fried steak for just $5.99. So great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We thank them every day for their sponsorship and for what they do for athletics across this great valley of ours. The other reminder comes courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. They enable me the time every day to tell you about the upcoming schedule on both 1430 and 790. We'll get to that in a second, but remind you that planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all they're under one roof at Precision Civil Engineering, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Also, Ed has the great fundraiser for the Lyles College of Engineering, where they are able to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked out beautifully over the years, and a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the schedules go, again, tonight, 5 o'clock,
will join after Phil has 2 hours of his show. Cowboys and the Raiders on the Raider Network tonight. Usually Westwood One, unless it's the Raider, 49er, or Ram games. And so it'll be a 5:15 kick, ABC and ESPN. Stop by me and Ed's Victory Grill and check everything out, Carter and everybody there. Again, Granite Park, Cedar, and Dakota. Lakers back to action tomorrow. They've had a great road trip that they've just wrapped up. And we'll see what they do with LeBron, by the way, in the future. I think they should put him on bubble wrap until April and then bring him out like Superman. But we'll see. They're playing very well, and they're still shorthanded in that regard. So, again, they'll have the Jazz in tomorrow at the Crypt. Sharks, of course, later in the week. And for us, another critical NFL week gets started on Thursday. We have the Thursday, Sunday, and Monday national games from Westwood One, or if it's one of our teams, from their networks. And we always have, irrespective of when they play, the 49er, Ram, and Raider games for you. Always very important games. The Rams escaping yesterday at SoFi. Again, that was another game where it's why they call it football, because there was a field goal that could have beaten them. And in this day and age of the NFL, anything inside of 70 yards, guys have a chance. Not only have the legs gotten stronger, the technique better, but they're using a different kicking ball now, and we're seeing 68-yard field goals. And yesterday it wasn't the distance, it was the accuracy that saved the Rams against the Seahawks. So we'll see how things play out for all three teams. The Raiders are not going to make the playoffs. The Rams and 49ers figure to both make it. We'll see if the Rams get there with a very top seed and quite possibly another Super Bowl title. And Davante Adams, with that oblique that he injured against the 49ers, still had a great game yesterday and is moving up the ranks as one of the greatest wide receivers who's ever played in the National Football League and is definitely on his way to the Hall of Fame. I don't know who of our Mount Rushmore will get their first title when we talk about Aaron Judge or Paul George, because the Sixers are playing a lot better, or Davante Adams. But I know this, Davante definitely on his way to the Hall of Fame, and we know Aaron Judge will land there, and I think Paul George will as well. So we'll see about our Mount Rushmore moving forward. The other reminders, in addition to the Lakers, Sharks still, of course, playing good hockey these days, and Celebrini is a revelation, so check out the Sharks whenever you can on 790. As far as the local shows, Phil normally 3 to 6. With his outstanding show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our friend Radha Vedikian, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California, the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. You can reach Phil if you can't get there in person to the location that is Fashion Furniture, El Paso, across from River Park. You can give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters with two very good shows for you. On 790, our sister station, The Deuce, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays on 790, and then the long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings, live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon, Central Valley Sports Report. I mentioned those two gentlemen, and I believe Pat Hill will be at Collegian for the huge game between Clovis and Central East as the you look for a title and maybe a state playoff bid beyond that, a Valley title. Also, keep in mind that for us, everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You get the live links and podcasts there. And finally, we are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. I want to thank Robert P. again for his fine thoughts about the Fresno State game. Robert, I'll get to that later in the week. I want to finish up with our good friend Gary up in the North Valley in Atwater. And you're right, Gary, and we referenced it earlier. I know you emailed me over the weekend. When we look at Fresno State, they've got to win against Utah State and San Jose State. That's a given. But UNLV, I think, as you referenced, are going to have a very hard time with Hawaii this weekend coming up. UNLV was very lucky to get away with it against Utah State. Like I said, a missed field goal in regulation, a missed field goal in overtime saved UNLV, and a guy who hadn't missed all year long going in was the one who missed those field goals. I think Hawaii is going to give UNLV a very bad time at Allegiant, and I do think New Mexico, who escaped Colorado State at home, going to have a real problem with Air Force. A lot of emotion Colorado Springs, and I would not be surprised if both UNLV and New Mexico lose, and Fresno State then controls its own destiny if they win their final two. We'll see how it plays out. I'm sure Phil will have more to say about that momentarily. Thanks to Jorge, thanks to Paul, and thanks to our sponsors, again, talking about Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating and Roofing, and the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We'll see you tomorrow with Jackson Moore, Phil coming up, then Major Wager Monday, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar, and Dakota. Stop by and see Carter and the gang there. See you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.